Please turn to Hosea chapter 14, verse 9, the very last verse of this book. Hosea 14, verse 9. I continue to thank God for the way that He sees fit to tie together Sunday school and sermon, the way He has done on so many occasions, and as you will find, so also this morning. And in this regard, I also would remind all of you that we have Sunday school, and if you can, come and attend and see what the Lord may have for you there. But here is our text, Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright will walk in them. But transgressors stumble in them. Alex Papalopoulos is a Cretan priest. On one of the many tours through his hometown church, a German businessman asked him the question, "You speak of wisdom and of light in a way that I've never heard a tour guide speaking of them. So then tell me, you paragon of wisdom and light, what is the meaning of life?" The priest looked at the man and he answered, "As a little child, I was playing in the streets of Crete, and I found there a mirror broken in 1,000 pieces. I gathered all of the pieces and I tried to put them back together again, but of course, that did not work. All I could do, all that remained, was to take the largest of the pieces and retain it. And I used this piece to capture the rays of the sun and to shed light on dark corners, dark places." And pulling the piece out of his very own pocket, the priest said, "It is a reminder to me each and every day that no matter how much of it you have, as long as you are willing to walk in it, light excels darkness. Now, if you want to have light, you must go to the source of light." Hosea ends with a proverbial wisdom saying in both form and content. This is the kind of language that you will have heard in the Proverbs and in part in Ecclesiastes, as also in the book of Job, and in various psalms, one of which, you recall, we read this morning, Psalm 36. It is an appeal to every reader of this book to be wise in understanding its message. And the message of Hosea has been parsed for us. It is, the ways of Yahweh are right. From the pitiful picture of Gomer, the unfaithful wife of the prophet, as a simile of the infidelity of Israel, to the laughable picture of the silly dove fluttering about in erratic fashion only to be captured by the bird of prey, to the grotesque image of the unwise son Ephraim who refuses to be born at the time of delivery but prefers to stay in the cervix, to Yahweh himself as a stately, life-giving tree. You have heard this message, you have heard this theme, this word over and over again on every page of this prophecy. The ways of Israel led to national death, the burial of the northern kingdom, never to be raised again. The ways of God bring life. The key to survival for the nation was so simple. All they needed to do, says the prophet as he instructs them in 14:2, remember, come, come, take with you words, only acknowledge your rebellion. And if their hearts were broken, their relationship with Yahweh would also be mended. You all know that Ephraim remained an unwise son, choosing death over life. But although the nation or the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, could no longer be saved from the impending doom of the judgment of God, this epilogue or this concluding wisdom saying of the book still offers life to the one who would choose it. And this appeal thus also becomes universal. It will always be true. It's timeless. God makes his appeal to you today to be wise and discerning. Wisdom. Who would not want to be called wise? Or should you be flattered when someone calls you a fool? We use the expression wise man to refer to a gangster who knows his way around the streets of the city. And as we all are told, and as we all believe, there is wisdom in healthy eating. There is wisdom in thriftiness. There is wisdom in planning for the future. There is wisdom in living in the moment. There is wisdom in proper timing, and so on. In essence, wisdom describes the relation between ends and means. You know where you are. You know where you want to be. You know the best way of getting there, so you go. That's wisdom. But however wise or savvy a woman or a man may seem to be, the litmus test for every human creature under the sun is to know this: the ways of the Lord are right. This saying is like the proverbial onion. You can peel it, and every time you take off a layer, there's a new meaning appearing. I will only mention three implications of this saying, the Lord is right. First of all, the ways. The ways means all of them. Not some, not even most of them, but all of them. Ways means all that God thinks, all that God plans, all that God says, all that God does, all of the time. We must also take account of the fact that it is Yahweh's ways, not Buddha's, Bono's, or Houdini's, or even your own. It's Yahweh's ways. Yes, and then of course, there is the tiny little word, the predicate, right, right. God's ways are right. Don't pass over this word too quickly. Think of it. Right does not merely imply superior, though that may well be true. Right is as absolute a term here as is the notion of the very divine being. God's ways are right, and apart from these, his ways, there is no right way, not a single one. as we are used to saying. A mistake is simply another way of doing it. No, that in God's book, in God's mind, wisdom is never a question of relativity or private interpretation. There is wisdom of God, and apart from it, every way of man eventually is shown to be folly. Proverbs say, there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahweh. And the fruit and the promise of God's wisdom towers over and renders foolish any pursuit of ours not centered in God's wisdom. Because the fruit and the promise of wisdom is life. Life, the very life of God. That is why in the lore of the sages of Israel, the wise men of Israel, not the gangsters, but in the lore of the sages of Israel, wisdom eventually became the tree of life. As 21:30 says, no, excuse me, this is 3:18. 3:18 in the Proverbs says, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. We already saw the image of God as the tree of life in the midst of the garden in the very last word of Hosea's prophecy in 14:8. Remember the last time we met? We took a tour through the garden that Hosea describes, the garden of God. And in the midst of that garden, there is God himself, the tree of life. From me, your fruit is found. God's wisdom, this is now made explicit in this wisdom saying that concludes the book. God's wisdom is the tree of life. Man's wisdom, the tree of death. God's ways are right in the absolute sense of the word because only they will lead to life. Therefore, everything depends upon our patterned, disciplined application or response to God's wisdom revealed. The final antithetical parallelism of this verse between the upright and the transgressors drives the point home. Either walk in God's ways, that is, follow him, or stumble in them. Either say yes to God's ways and his light, or rebel against his guidance. Proverbs 14:2 says, he who walks in his uprightness fears Yahweh. That's wisdom, the fear of the Lord. He who walks in his uprightness fears Yahweh, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. 15:33, the fear of Yahweh is the instruction in wisdom. And before honor comes humility. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that humility that describes the fear of the Lord, namely to acknowledge and to love and to respect God in everything, that humility of the fear of the Lord is precisely what Hosea had in mind when he said, the ways of the Lord are right. It is as if he was to say, your ways, not mine, your ways are right. I will walk in them. Wisdom is a diamond, so pure, so simple, so precious, But who has seen one? Who has known it? Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Do you know that the ways of the Lord are right for you? And I vie not for your intellectual assent. But do you know as you ought to? Even as the apostle says, if anyone thinks that he knows something, let him know as he ought to, for he does not yet know as he ought to know. But knowing God's ways and doing them must go in tandem, as they do in this verse, at least in the case of the upright. And we dare not make the mistake that I'm very prone to making, of imagining that because we have knowledge, that because we have understood something, that therefore we have also accomplished something or have been changed into the image of the invisible God, into the image of Jesus Christ. And some people like to speak of eternal security. How cheap this talk can be. Even the doctrine of election can become cheap talk. And some people love to talk about justification by faith. And some people say, yes, I made a decision for Christ in 1967. But we all know, do we not, that a tree is and will always be known by its fruit alone. That's how you know a tree. And I don't care what doctrine you defend so valiantly. Walk in his ways. It's what God wants to know from you. It's what God wants to see from you. And this makes Hosea's call for wisdom so intensely acute. I remember when I first became acquainted with the Bible. God made it so. I know it. God made it so that I could spend time in the Bible all day long. For several months, I did nothing but read the Bible. And I always thought of myself as gaining so much knowledge and understanding that I would be a wise man. And not only that, but of course also acknowledged to be wise by all. And that made me a fool. I know that too. But there are as many applications to affirming that the ways of the Lord are right as there are individual commands in the Bible that are intended by God to guide you in his ways. To use Hosea's language, the ways of the Lord are right. So for example, if I claim wisdom, I'm a wise man. If I claim the fear of the Lord as that which I practice, then I may ask the question, do I actually or am I actually in the habit of, as Paul enjoins, praying without ceasing? Praying without ceasing. Do you talk to him often as you think of him? And do you cultivate your fellowship with the Father by your frequent praise of his name for all that you see, all that you take, and all that is taken from you? This is a direct corollary of the fear of the Lord, of wisdom, of saying that the ways of the Lord are right. For it means that you humbly submit, bow to his ways. It means that you humbly submit to his judgment, his word, his power, to guide you, to navigate your course through life, every day of your life. But however many ways of the Lord there may be, The matter is not confusing. Not at all confusing, because at the end of the day, wisdom is a diamond. It is simple, it's pure. For all the ways in God's own wisdom eventually converge upon one way, a highway, in which even the simple can walk and not stumble, Jesus Christ. There's a saying on the northern wall of the foyer out there, 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 24. Andrea has stenciled it onto the drywall. You know the saying. It is the motto of the church. It is the verse that you will find when you access our website. It could be the motto of every church on earth. Whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever denomination they belong to, it's a universal truth. True for every individual, true for every church. Now Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Greeks. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. How is Christ wisdom from God for me? Or as Paul later affirms in 1:30 of that same passage, that same chapter, how has Christ become to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? How do we fill this with meaning? What does this mean? Let's fill it with meaning. One, Christ crucified is your wisdom because he is wisdom personified. He's wisdom in person. He's the Word made flesh. And if ever there was a man walking the earth who could show you wisdom, and if ever there was someone who lived in this world who could show you what wisdom looks like, show me what it looks like in the life of a real human creature, tis he. Tis he. So, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as they say, and if the fear of the Lord is the essential ingredient, the principal part of wisdom, that which joins everything together to make it what it is, then Christ crucified shows you wisdom. Let me say that again, lest you miss it. Christ crucified shows you wisdom in perfection. That's what I expected. Some of you look bewildered. Christ crucified is wisdom in perfection, and there is no wisdom like the folly of his cross. For Jesus, too, embraced Hosea's creed. The words, "The ways of the Lord are right," they could have come out of Jesus' own mouth. And he lived by them. He was the only one who ever did, the only one who ever will, perfectly, without fail. He gave glory to God. That's what it means. When you say, "Your ways, not mine, your ways are right," that means I will give glory to you. I will let you be God on your own terms. He gave glory to God by acknowledging his ways in every way, every minute of his life, from the beginning to the very end. But Jesus' wisdom, who is wisdom personified, Jesus' wisdom was seen most eminently and in the most crystalline beauty when he began to suffer. It began with the words, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then, of course, when hanging on the cross. Wisdom is essentially giving glory to God. This is so because if wisdom essentially is the relation of ends and means. You only have to ask the question, what's the highest end? What's the best way I can do with my life? It's to give glory to God. There is nothing else. It may sound rather rhetorical or maybe even esoteric, but it is what it is. God made it so. The best thing you can do with your life is to give glory to God, to let it be for Him. If that is the highest end, the only question that needs to be answered now is, in order to have wisdom, how do I get there? How do I do it? How do I make it so? And God's glory is the aim or the end of wisdom. And the most perfect way of getting there, the most perfect way of giving glory to God, of living in the wisdom that the ways of the Lord are right, is to lay down your own life, is to sacrifice your will. Death to one's own will and death to self is the most perfect means of living in the wisdom that the ways of the Lord are right. And so Jesus laid down his life for the glory of the Father. That is why Paul says he has been made for us wisdom. The pattern of wisdom is in Christ's death and resurrection. For because he showed the humility of the fear of the Lord, before honor comes humility, remember, because he showed the fear of the Lord in perfection, the Father also granted him life from death, because as we said, the fruit of wisdom will always be life. And if you want to have wisdom, and if you want to eat of the tree of life, if you want to eat of the tree of wisdom, then commit all of your ways to God. Then lean not on your own understanding, and be prepared to die to self. This is the law of Christ, the law of wisdom. For you, children of light, children of wisdom, are here by God's appointment to justify God in His ways, to make known His ways, and to show that they are right. And that means that you are called to live in the pattern of Christ, in the light of His death and resurrection, so that you may die in order to live for God. But of course, Christ is not only the pattern. He's not only the perfect example for us. He is the way of the Lord. He is your life. He is your power. Not only does he show you what wisdom looks like, he also becomes your wisdom because he lives within you and reproduces his life, his wisdom, his death, and his life in you by the Holy Spirit. It is he who lives through you so that he is, in the fullest sense of the word, he is your wisdom. Wisdom personified lives in you. He's your wisdom. And still, my friends, for this to happen, according to God's promise, because God promises to give you this wisdom, to give you life, for this to happen, you still must renew your choice of wisdom above everything else, each and every day anew, and every minute of your life, until you may become, shall I say, skillful in understanding that the ways of the Lord are right for you. And you walk in them. You actually walk in them with a sense of consistency, not taking one step forward in seeking God's face and worshiping God, and then taking two steps back and walking in your own ways in order to return to the former pattern, and so on. apart from Christ, I hope that you know this, you have no wisdom, whoever you think you are. You have no wisdom apart from Christ. I have no wisdom. Why? Because I don't walk in his ways. I cannot apart from him. It's far better to say, Lord, I have no wisdom, and I am a fool. But if you are mine, then you are my wisdom. Do with me as you wish, and let me not be slow in sacrificing my will to you, that I may abide in you and you in me. In light of all that we have said so far, your choice of wisdom, to which God has called you this morning, shapes up as your choice of Christ's ways over the world's, the ways of the spirit of wisdom over the devil's. Heiko Krimmer is a missionary to India. He says, in Malopalem, a tiny little village in eastern India, not far from the geographical region of the Margam churches, which we support. In Malopalem, there lives Bhudevi. Bhudevi is venerated by the people in her village as a goddess because she has supernatural power. But Bhudevi is a sad woman. 4 times she had been pregnant, and each time she aborted her fetus in the 3rd month of her pregnancy, despite the fact that she and her husband would like nothing more but to have a child. Night after night, I heard a voice forcing me to abort, Bhudevi confessed to a local pastor. The man took 3 men of his congregation, fasted and prayed for Bhudevi. And having strengthened themselves in the Lord, the 4 men went to the house of the demon-possessed woman, prayed over her, calling on the name of Jesus for help. And Bhudevi was set free. And she then joined the congregation. Little less than a year later, she gave birth to a perfectly healthy, tiny little son. The fruit of wisdom is life, you know. And Bhudevi's seeking help from the Lord was the beginning of wisdom for her. If you want wisdom, all you need to do is to ask him in true faith. Do not doubt, but ask him in full belief with all of your broken heart that the ways of the Lord are right for you, and you will have it. God promises you will have it. Who then is wise and understanding? Whoever is discerning and understands these things, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors fall in them. Oh, may God grant you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you may know the hope to which you have been called in Christ, that you may know the power that is yours to walk in his ways, in him. Choose wisdom. Choose life. And if you have but a little light, then walk in it. For light excels the darkness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that as light excels darkness, so wisdom excels folly. That wisdom is found in Christ, readily available to everyone who humbles himself under your mighty hand, that we may receive him. And with him, all the attributes that you wish to see in your children. And even though we do not have a single one of them in and of ourselves, all of them are found in him and therefore also in us. As the apostle used to teach us, you are complete in Christ. We praise you for this, Father, and ask you for an increasing understanding and wisdom to apply this truth, for this is what remains. To continue to walk in your ways and to become more and more consistent, that light may not only fill our hearts, but also emanate from all that we say and do, beginning with the heart, the thoughts of the heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.